Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters!
This is a journey into the sound.
The fattest, funkiest tunes in town.
Now, here comes the music.
You got a beat for me?
This one's explosive.
And right now we'd like to introduce the
Message in the Mix.
Fast, funky, and furious, and in full effect.
George, you see, Julie and I have a very open...
Music, please.
Soul, funk, hip-hop, and house.
Roger, copy.
Stand by for all of this. And more.
Right. This is another episode of Explicit Content with the God, Hey Rue. And tonight we're going to be doing a playback episode. So, everybody just to hang in there and don't bear with us. Sure appreciate y'all's participation and the support that you have offered to the show. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for tuning in, listening in, retweeting and supporting us throughout our attempts to get Tweetyverse Central up and off the ground. So, I just want everybody, man, to know that we are here and doing what we do. So I'm going to play a little music, man, before we jump into this replay episode. This is Matt Vex with L4D.
I use for slow internet connection. We are spinning. I'm trying to get this music on, so y'all just bear with us.
Trying to get it together. Yeah, shit happens. Shit happens. Yeah, we're Blog Talk Radio, man. It's a wonderful place to be at times, man. Other times things get a little hectic, but, you know, we try to get it to y'all, man. Trying to do what we do. You know, because I'm here as always. You know, which comes to shove, I will talk for 2 hours. As you know, I can. So, seems to be having a little problem with the studio and getting this music to play. So, gonna continue, man, to keep on trying, and while we doing that, I'm gonna keep on talking to y'all, man. You know what I'm saying? Because we here, it's a journey, and we on this journey together. So, you know, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? In the words of Tweety B, you know, it's what it is. So, we doing that, man. Trying to make things work. You know, continue trying to get this music to spin, and see what happens. You know, it get crazy sometimes like that. And, hey, it's been extremely, extremely ridiculous, but it's like that, so. As I said, I'm here, man, doing what I do. Chopping it up with y'all, letting y'all know, man, and I appreciate y'all being here. While we waiting on this music to play, man, I guess I could get into a little something that's on my mind, man. You know what I'm saying? It's like I've been tripping lately off of all the drama, conflict, and madness, man, going on. You know, it seems like a person can say something out of their mouth, and the people who claim to be, you know, allies, friends, associates, what have you, they have a tendency to pounce on anything that could be viewed or perceived as negative in the conversation. You know, I don't understand that. I think I will never be able to understand that, because if somebody is on your team or you on somebody's team, it's like there should be a mentality of if it can be taken a positive and good way, then that's the way that you should take it. Anything other than that is not understandable to me, you know. It's as if when you're talking to somebody, I never understood the whole I'm not a bitch or thing. It's like I would never think that you were that type of person, so it is what it is, you know. And we working and struggling, man, to get it together over here, man. At times, blog talking and do what they want to do. Man, you know what I'm saying. Y'all just going to have to bear with me, man. As I said, I appreciate y'all patience. You know, it's like, man, understand, man, the people that you have in your circle are the people that you have in your circle, man. Make sure that these people have your best interest at heart. Therefore, the things they say to you cannot be taken in a negative way. If you're on my circle, you're on my team and shit, you know what I'm saying, man? When push comes to shove, I know that anything you say, what you're saying, how you're saying it, is only meant in the best way. There's nothing negative that can be taken from it. It can't be viewed no fucked up way. It can't be seen crazy or nothing like that, because it is, as I said, a positive thing, because that's what folks do for the people that they fuck with. You know what I'm saying? It's like you fuck with the people who are on your team, and you root them on, you cheer for them. You know, it's always amazing to me how people are on your team, but it's like they blocking your shot. I don't get that. So, you know, we're going to try to keep this thing going, man, and keep on talking and doing what we do, man, until we can get it up and going. Can't figure out what the hell is going on at this present time with the studio, man, you know what I'm saying, but it is what it is. We're going to continue trying to keep on, man, and get this music going, because, as I said, it's spinning and spinning and doing what it do, but life is a play.
Now what I live for, I die for, that's my love. And what I live for, I ride for, that's the thug. What I live for, I die for, that's my love. And what I live for, I ride for, that's the thug. Cold North, baby, we on the come up. On the come up, on the come up, on the come up. Cold North, baby, we on the come up. On the come up, on the come up, on the come up. They say I'm an essential genius like Willie Wonka, but I say I'm an electric being who was born to shock you. I die over my music, radio right here, not even a question, just do the right thing. I've taken trips across town and even through states, still got two to go between the first 48. It's murder, haven't you heard of what I'm repping? It's lights out like Super Bowl 47. Maybe I don't know much like Aaron Neville, so I war with society, classified as a rebel. And that may be all I need to know, but if balance is power, then you need to know. Now what I live for, I die for, that's my love. And what I live for, I ride for, that's the thug. What I live for, I die for, that's my love. And what I live for, I ride for, that's the thug. Cold North, baby, we on the come up, on the come up, on the come up, on the come up. Cold North, baby, we on the come up, on the come up, on the come up, on the come up.
good hands on you like clock, trip you in a film. But what shouldn't be the third, check your power theory. You're heading in the wrong direction. In my quest for conquest, I may bring insurrection. Call me a synapse, cause I'm on your nerves perhaps. Time is money, so I spend it taking care of business. I need to bury G for a rainy day. No one has to bury me a G when I pass away. Hopefully at least, maybe then I finally find my feet. Behind this crooked smile and all the grief. You try to stay in the beat, you only in the best it. Someone suggested cutting your losses. If you don't encourage it, that's what I live for, I die for. That's my love. And what I live for, I ride for. That's the thug. What I live for, I die for. That's my love. And what I live for, I ride for. That's the thug. Cold North, baby. We on the come up. On the come up. On the come up. On the come up. Cold North, baby. We on the come up. On the come up. Only come up, only come up.
If you can't find something to live for, then find a reason worth dying. When my heart beats and scream, cold north. Or you're a tough guy behind that keyboard. Deep inside the space, think you're letting me more. But where the eyes are marched, I mean the eyes are marked. They wouldn't play a straight from start. How can we iron out our differences? The highest out in this vicious. Rather see tired marks, see him squilling. I'm tired of the marks running to them people squilling. Is it lack of conscience or lack of substance that turns them to abuse the ones who trust it? Like Gator doing his dance for a little change. That constant jungle got that fever that will bring you pain. Bring you pain.
Now what I live for, I die for. That's my love. And what I live for, I ride for. That's the thug. What I live for, I die for. That's my love. And what I live for, I ride. That's the thug. Cold North, baby. We on the come up. On the come up. On the come up. On the come up. Cold North, baby. We on the come up. On the come up.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is a journey into the sound.
The fastest, funkiest tunes in town.
Now, here comes the music.
You've got a beat for me?
This one's explosive.
And right now we'd like to introduce
the massive in the mix.
Funky and furious, and in full effect.
Lord, you see, you and I have a very open...
Music, please.
Soul, funk, hip-hop and house.
Roger, copy.
Stand by for all of this, and more.
All right, here live with another episode of Explicit Content. Today's episode is a special roundtable episode. This is the God Hey Rule, and we have our guests coming through to engage in roundtable conversation. We have Jerry Dobie of the Hype Magazine, along with Jit Chronicles of Grindhard Radio, the Ruler T of Live by Terrence Show, The Hour of the Hour Show, and Smooth the Dude Show. We're going to be bringing them in soon to discuss reestablishing the concept of success amongst black boys in the black community. The subject has been, as always, you know what I'm saying, I start my show off speaking about what's on my mind, and this topic has been on my mind heavily lately because if we don't define what success is, then that leaves us with somebody else's definition of what failure is. So gonna see if we can't get some conversation going and maybe, you know what I'm saying, redefine that. I mean, it's like success is not about a championship ring. I mean, Charles Barkley comes to mind, you know what I'm saying. Played basketball many years, you know, had a very successful basketball career, didn't win a ring. You know what I'm saying? You have, you know, Jada Kiss on the West Coast, I mean East Coast, and Dub C on the West Coast. I mean, these are very, you know, prolific rappers, man, with lots of good I can even go as far as saying great music out. And, you know, it's just not there. So if you allow yourself to believe that success is based on the things that you acquire or accumulate in your life, and if you don't acquire enough things, then you will find yourself believing that you are a failure. So let's see if we can't get people to understanding that success is about the life that you live, being somebody that you would want your child, you know, son, daughter, to emulate, somebody that they can be proud of. It's about living a life that you can look back upon and be proud of. So, you know, this is where we are. You know, so, I mean, it's just time, you know. I mean, you get a platform like this, you know what I'm saying? I like to play a lot of music, talk about a variety of things, you know, chit-chat, joke, clown, you know, even do a little flirting on the air. But I feel like when you have a platform like this, you have an obligation, you know. If you have people listening to, paying attention to what you're saying, then you have an obligation to say something relevant, say something that could possibly change somebody's life. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's not just about entertaining, it's about educating. And so, you know, I mean, it's just that time. So if gonna check the board and see if the guests are here, and if they are, you know what I'm saying, we're gonna try to bring them on in and get this round table started. Let's see, it's anybody online yet? You know, sometimes we be on black people time, you know, steady, things move a little slow. So any of the following,
yeah, hey Ru,
hey, we got
callers on the line here. I think some of your people are here. If you want to go ahead and pull people in, you do have callers on the line.
Yeah, okay. Bring them on in. Press that 1 and come on in.
And not left 9550. You are live on the air. Are you there?
Hey, what's up, y'all? This is the Real Latif from the Live by Terrence show.
All right, man. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
I appreciate it, man.
We have 2543. I'm going to pull them in here, too, and then I'm out of here.
Hey.
Hey, what's good? Hey, this is Jerry from Hype Magazine.
All right. Hey, how's it going, Jerry? Appreciate you showing up, man. I guess the other brother's going to be a little bit late. So, you know, it is what it is, man. No, I expected Jit not to slide through till about the second half, and I know that, you know, the rule of T, Brother Terrence, he got to get to work, you know what I'm saying? So he'll be sliding out around the second half. I'm still looking for the hour and that, and smooth to do to slide through. So if they get through here, you know, we'll bring them in. But I mean, y'all heard the opening of the show, man. So I mean, it's like I told you when we conversed before, this is not so much about debating of whether or not there is a problem. That the definition of success among young black men, young black boys in the black community, is about finding resolutions, finding, you know what I'm saying, solutions and new methods by which. So, you know, we'll start off, man, by allowing you gentlemen to tell everybody who you are. We'll start with you, Rudy T. You came in on the board first. Tell everybody who you are, man.
Well, I am the Ruler T. I am the CEO and host of the Live by Terrence show. I've been on Blog Talk Radio for almost 3 years now, and also have worked with the likes of Tweeter B, the guy Heyru, and also with Jared Dobie of the Hype Magazine. And I just want to say it's an honor to be on the show, and glory to God, you know, to be able to discuss a topic like this, because we have so much that's going on in the world. And the guy Heyru, I want to thank you for, you know, bringing this into the limelight for us to discuss it tonight.
Yeah, most definitely. Jerry, want to tell everybody who you are, man?
Hey, what's good? This is Jerry. I'm the editor-in-chief of the Hype magazine. I'm a former soldier, a father, and I'm a man. Most of all, I'm a man.
Most definitely, man, most definitely. Yeah, I mean, it's like, for those of you who tune into the show, man, I'm going to give another little, you know, introduction to myself. Y'all know me as the God Hey Rule, man, your host of explicit content over here. And it's a pleasure, man, to be able to, you know, sit at a table with these brothers, man, you know what I'm saying, and engage in this dialogue. So, you know, to get things started off, man, I mean, what do you feel is, let's start with you, Jerry, this time. What do you feel is the main problem with the concept of success in the black community amongst black boys?
The visuals. The biggest problem, in my opinion, are the visuals. You know, I compare it to being in prison for 10 or 20 years. When you watch, your world is through the television, right? And you watch them go in, and you say, they sit down at the restaurant and say, let me get a burger, fries, and a Coke, all right? They don't say, give me a cheeseburger or whatever. It's just generic. 100% generic is what's been fed to it, So you're being programmed. So no matter what you've learned early on, if you spend 20 years in that kind of programming, you lose touch with reality. So when you come out and you go to Burger King and you say, let me get a burger, fries, and a Coke, and they say, what size? And do you want cheese? You're stuck on stupid. You know what I mean? So the images of all the jewelry, the flash, throwing $10,000, you know, purse, lap dance, or whatever it is. You know, if you got it, okay, that's your business. But you got the young men are coming up looking at, I need to get this money. Doesn't matter what I have to do to get it. And that's what's going to make me successful, having the Bentley, having the Hummers, or whatever. And then the young lady, you know, helped to perpetuate and facilitate that mindset by allowing themselves to fall into the trap of what they think pleases, you know, a guy, and they're looking for a baller. So the baller wannabes want to get the money to get the female. To them, that's success. They haven't looked at 10 years down the road, do I have a 401k or a KEO account or IRA, you know what I mean, where I can put some of this money and let it earn for me, you know, instead of being a slave to the dollar. The dollar's a slave to you as it's supposed to be. And in my opinion, that's the major concept. The visualization of success are the material trappings that everyone sees, and they're being
all
programmed.
Right. All right, all right. Rule of T, give us your perception of what the largest problem is with, you know, the concept of success in the black community amongst young black boys.
Well, basically, I want to piggyback on what Jerry's talking about. It is about the visuals. You know, we live in a society now where we are stimulated by visuals. And the propaganda that's been put forth for us to see or hear or even read now. And see, the thing about success, a lot of people value success based off what everybody else is doing and not personally applying it to themselves. Being, you know, being successful is an accomplishment of a purpose that each individual person sets. So, you know, you got Lil Wayne out there, he's successful. But that success might not necessarily, you know, compute to be your success. You know, the success of each individual person or life, for me, as an example, could be getting a house or providing a better life for my children or something like that. So everybody has a different definition of success. And with the visuals that's out there, one of the main things that I cringe about when I hear people be saying that money is their motivation. Think about money. Money has a mind of its own. That I know we all have heard the term that money is the root of all evil. So you have good money, you have bad money. And so if you're using money as a motivation, it's going to take you to places that you might not necessarily want to go. But then at the same time, That's your motivation. So it's going to hypnotize you, and you're going to end up doing stuff that, you know, you've been raised not to do, or you feel that's morally wrong, but you do it anyway because you're chasing something that's not really meant to be chased. So from my life perspective is, you know, I turned my life over to God. I'm saved now. And so I use my faith. I walk by faith. And I know we live with it. Now society shows that sin is believing, but you don't necessarily have to see things to believe. You know, you can receive that from God or whatever else you might believe in. And it's good to always surround yourself with positive people and try to do your own research. Because everything you see on TV and read and, you know, some of this stuff that people know they lying about just to draw you in. And once they get you in, they got you hooked and they can brainwash you and manipulate you in a kind of way.
Okay,
and I just
want
to tell everybody
that,
I just want to tell everybody that research, do your own research sometimes. Don't always believe what you see on TV or what
the artists
are doing or whatever to portray that, because they're getting paid to you know, project a certain image. But a lot of times they not even know the struggle that they went through to get there, or the dark corners they had to turn, or also the good corners, because, you know, everybody don't go down, you know, the dark path to get, you know, to become successful.
Yeah.
So, like Jerry was saying, you know, it's the visual that's really doing us in and just doing our society in as a whole.
Okay. So, I mean, I concur with you, brother, man. I mean, it's like, to me, it's a drive to accomplish something without knowing what that thing is. Not the accomplishment or completing the task itself. It is the end result that they define as success. It's like, okay, I want an omelet, but I don't care where the eggs came from, how they came from, where the cheese came from, what I had to do to get the cheese, whatever I had to do to get anything to sit down at the table and eat. And at the same time, I think that it is a journey that causes one to become almost morally corrupt in order to achieve a certain thing. And then when you get there, you find that things that you desired are no longer there. It's like you have a goal for fame as opposed to financial stability. You know, it's like people would rather be the person getting let through the red velvet rope into the club with people knowing who they are, as opposed to being the individual who owns the club that nobody really knows who they are. You know what I'm saying? So, to me, it's like success is about things as opposed to being about the type of life you live, a life that is filled with things worthy of being emulated, accomplishments. Me personally, I feel that my life will be successful if I can touch enough people to make a difference after I'm gone. I'm not a person who seeks out fame or whatever. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to sit on this show because we're trying to be conscious individuals and pretend like money don't mean nothing. So I'm not going to do that. But the brother D. Hour is here, man. We're going to bring that brother in, man. You know what I'm saying? And welcome him to the show. D. Hour, you there, man?
Yo, what's going on, brother? It's D. Slate. What's going on?
What's going on, brother? Welcome to the show, man. We had kind of got a little started, man, but why don't you tell everybody who you are, man, and tell us, man, what you feel that the biggest problem is with the concept of success, man, in the black community amongst black boys.
First off, man, it's an honor to be on the show. Definitely, I want to say big ups to my man, Haru, for kicking this off. My name is D. Slate, CEO. And radio personality of the Diablo Radio Network. We've been on Blog Talk for almost 5 years. I heard you guys talking about certain things and certain elements regarding what the issue is amongst black boys in the community and as far as success is concerned. The two problems, the first problem is education. I think that's one big issue with young men, is education, because the thing about it is, if when you look at the success of women and men in education, you know, women are a little bit more successful. You know, women are going to high schools and finishing. You know, women are going to colleges and getting their education and getting all the tools that they need to be successful, whether or not they're having kids or not. You know, the other issue, you know, is image. You know, because the thing about it is that, you know, and these young men not doing their homework on what it really takes to be what they claim that they want to be. So, for instance, when you hear some of these young cats talking about, you know, how big of a famous rapper they want to be, or how big of a famous singer, or just being famous, some type of famous individual in entertainment, period, they don't do all of their homework. You know, so these young kids get so caught up in the fame, they get so caught up in the imaging that they don't really do their homework and they don't take the time to really think about what it takes to be successful in entertainment. You know, what the hard work is, what type of obstacles you're going to be going through, what type of mental pressure you're going to be going through. They don't think about that. It's all about, I want this money, I want this fame, and they don't think about that. And as soon as they get there, then they're going through problems and they're having trouble. You know, for instance, like the young dude Justin Bieber. I mean, yeah, he was a YouTube sensation. He became famous, and now the dude is losing his mind. You know, he's got all this fame, and honestly, I think he really don't know what to do with it. You know, sometimes this business can be really slow for individuals. Sometimes this business, that entertainment business, can be like a roller coaster ride. It can be so fast, you know, these young cats don't know what to do with it. And it's like when you get these young men and they get all this money and they all this fame, they really don't know what to do with it. So they start going crazy with it. They're not thinking about it, and they're getting themselves in trouble. You know, eventually, they're not on top like they used to be, or they're in some type of legal troubles or troubles with the law. And the problem is, again, is that these cats don't take the time to think about it. They don't do their research, and they don't get the proper education that they need to be able to handle those different things and be able to deal with that. I think the issue is that these cats need to really dig deep into what it takes to be successful. Stop going off of the money you're seeing. Stop going off of the image you're seeing, because you don't know what struggle your famous, the celebrity that you look up to the most, you don't know what struggles them cats is going through. Just because you're not seeing it in the public eye don't mean that these people ain't going through issues.
Okay.
You know,
okay,
you see what
yeah.
they want. You see what they want you to see. You know what I'm saying? You see what they want you to see. So they're not giving you all the ins and outs of every little bitty issue or problem. Sometimes the problems may be so crazy they don't want nobody to know too much about it. So again, these young cats is not really thinking about what it takes to be successful and the education and the tools they need to stay in that business and to have longevity in it. Stop going off of what you're seeing, and stop going off of what type of money you think these people is making. Because a lot of times they're not making the type of money you think they make.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I just want to tell you, brothers, man. If at times it appears that I'm like kind of cutting you short, man, that's not at all what I'm attempting to do. I'm attempting to move the show along and give everybody an opportunity to speak, because we all are, you know what I'm saying, intelligent individuals who have a lot to say. And as we know, being intelligent individuals, you know what I'm saying, we've all been told that we can talk, you know what I'm saying? So,
oh, no doubt.
I mean, being in the position that we are all in, man, we have a platform to speak. We'll start with Jerry this time. What do you feel that your obligations are, man, with regards to, you know what I'm saying, using your platform to reach out, like, to, you know, young black boys or black youths, you know what I'm saying, in order to, like, offer them guidance or speak or say something of relevance with regard to this topic of what success is about?
I think my responsibility as a journalist is to give them the unadulterated truth without interjecting my opinion. And, you know, that's presenting facts from both sides, you know, both, you know, those who've made it, those who have not made it, the real story versus the bull. I don't deal with the gossip or anything like that because we're not that way. But my responsibility as far as guiding them is to lead by example. You know, I have a clean record. You know what I mean? I have a record of service to the country. And here I am telling the truth in black and white in a print magazine, you know, that is widely accepted. And we, our goal is to continue to stand upright, and that's my responsibility as a man, is just show them someone who looks like them, who's doing it using their brain and their creativity outside of rapping or talking about wetting somebody's shirt up or robbing or trapping or whatever it is that they're doing. And my responsibility, of course, is to expose other people who are in that same vein, you know, such as yourself, you know what I mean? People who have an awareness of what's going on and can expound deeper than, you know, hey, Joe Blow's got a new record out. You know, they can expound on a subject and draw out of the interview, you know, or the story, you know, parts that will throw the alarm clock in the proverbial graveyard, so to speak. So that's the long answer to a short question, but I just believe that's my responsibility as a journalist and as a man.
Yeah. So we're going to go
with... Did I answer your question?
Oh, yeah, most definitely, man, most definitely, because it's like I wasn't attempting to imply that you had any obligation as far as your job outside of what your job is, because at the end of the day, nobody wants to come off as preachy from a magazine and attempt to make money, because, you know what I'm saying, it's like we all want to do, you know, morally correct work, you know what I'm saying? So we have an obligation not only to the people who we work with, but also our obligations, you know, as men. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, I mean, I understood exactly where he was coming from. Brother D'Hour, I mean, I keep saying D'Hour, Brother D-Slay, can you answer this same question?
Say that again, bro. I didn't hear you.
I said, could you answer the same question I just asked, brother? What do you feel that your obligations are? You know what I'm saying? For your from your position and the platform that you have, man, with regards to younger brothers, you know what I'm saying, and defining what success is in the black community.
You know, I think my obligation is to educate, man. I think my obligation is to, you know, in the position that I am, that I'm in, I think my obligation is to educate and inform. You know, I think that with certain individuals, you can tell them all day what's going on, but if you can push them into the direction of them wanting to see it for themselves and them wanting to experience it and really wanting to get hands-on and wanting to know, you know, what they need to do, I think that's the best route to go. If you can help push these young men into wanting to see for themselves, wanting, you know, to get the education and get the tools and get everything they need to be successful. So I think it's my obligation to help these young cats, you know, inspire, you know, to inspire them and to, to place that seed, you know, to plant that seed within them to want to grow into successful individuals. So I think it's really just my obligation to plant that seed, and hopefully it grows into you know, the flourished plant or you know, the beautiful tree that you know, you expect, or you know, you hope that these young men are going to grow into. So I think that's pretty much what my obligation is. It's just to help plant that seed, because like I said, I mean, you know, sometimes people don't really like to go off of what you're telling them. They like to get their hands dirty. So if I could just plant that seed, you know, hopefully it'll grow into something special.
Yeah, most definitely, man. Most definitely, man. That's kind of how I see it. I mean, I feel like the obligation, man, is to lead by example. I mean, because we can stand on a mountaintop and preach, or you can attempt to show individuals, man, but it's like, because of the fact that there is no accepted or obligatory like manhood ritual or any rituals that we have to go through in order to achieve manhood or in order just to make progress as men, that, you know, the leading by example pretty much has to be it. And a lot of us are knuckleheads. Me personally, I can say, you know what I'm saying, I haven't lived a clean life. I came up hard, you know what I'm saying? So I made mistakes, paid hard for them mistakes. You see what I'm saying? And some of them I'm still paying for, that, you know what I'm saying, because you never really stop once you find yourself in the system. But the thing that touched me most was I came to understand that I have an obligation, because I participated in leading so many individuals one way. You have an obligation to guide and change in another way. You know what I'm saying? Because when you're in the streets, it's like the way you live in your life, people want to be like you. So you have to let them see the full picture, not just the whole little what it was. You know what I'm saying? Then I went away and came back. Now watch my struggle. Because now it's like I'm way behind the game. It was a race. You know what I'm saying? I was step for step with everybody else. I had opportunity to get a good education, go to school, get an education, graduate from school, go to college, do all of those things. But when you sit away, basically warehouse, and then step back out into society, you find yourself behind in the race. So you have to try to catch up. And the thing about it is you can't run too fast, because you're never going to get that time back. You see what I'm saying? And so I feel like my obligation is to let people know, man, that no matter what the journey is, even right now, you got four different brothers on this line. Each of us has taken a different journey, but at this exact moment, we at this table having a dialogue about what we can do to help our community, to help Black boys in our community, not, you know what I'm saying, go down the wrong path or show them what success is. Because if, as I said at the top of the show, if we don't define or redefine what success is, then we allow failure to be spoon-fed to us. Because if you don't have this, you don't have that, you haven't accomplished this or you haven't accomplished that, then you are a failure. You know what I'm saying? So that's my perspective of it. Brother Ruler T, you still there?
Yes, sir.
Ruler T.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Can you answer that same question for us, brother?
Well, basically, my obligation is, which I feel is also is my calling, is to help also educate and mentor our young males and just males in general on how to think freely for yourself and not fall into what society wants you to be or how society wants you to think. Basically, what I'm saying is think outside the box. Find out who you are as an individual. And like I said, you don't have to pay attention to the labels that, you know, people is going to try to place on you. Because if you get yourself caught up and getting put in, you know, characterized or categorized, I mean, that will put you in a small bubble to where you might not feel like you have the freedom to, you know, think on your own or make your own decisions. So you going down along the road where a lot of other people might have gone.
So I think my obligation is to teach how to do more research, find out who you are, and if you have any kind of faith and believe in God, you know, seek out to Him, because He has all the answers, and He will define who you are in this world. And then you take that gift that God gives you, and you apply that gift to what you are trying to accomplish in life, and you will differentiate yourself from everybody. So you don't have to actually follow the crowd. You can be a trendsetter. It might be something that's a market or a niche market that hasn't been met. So rather than trying to live up to everybody else's standards or trying to be like the next person, just find out the uniqueness about yourself, and then try to, you know, see what you can do with that to make a difference in this world. Because we all are different individuals, and like you were saying, God, Heru, we all came from different walks of life, but tonight we are sitting at the same round table discussing this because we all have a vision, and we all have common goals in which how we want to put that vision to order. So I would recommend, you know, just figure out who you are. And then try to take that and build something out of it. And then you will feel much better because you know that you're the one that actually put forth the effort, and it wasn't something that you were trying to live up to or trying to become something that you really didn't want to, but you were just doing that to try to go after something that you desire that you might later on not want when you get older or years down the road.
Yeah. Yeah, also, I mean, it's like speaking to you brothers, man, I find that each one of you, like myself, is a person who thinks for themselves. But a lot of young brothers today, they struggle in the community trying to get away from we think, and they so caught up in we think that if you know, the ability to do the me think is like there. I mean, I hear it all the time. It's like I know, you know, personally, man, I agree with what you're saying, man, but, you know, I don't want them to think, or, you know, I don't want it to look like, or I don't want people saying that. All of these things, they so worried about what other people would say. So, I mean, it's like, if I could ask you brothers one at a time, we'll start with Brother Diawa. What was it in your life that allowed you to be the individual that you are, or reach the place that, you know what I'm saying, to take the path and be like an individual and not get caught up, like, you know what I'm saying, trying to be like everybody else? D-Slave, you still there, brother?
I think it was muting a little bit. Say the question again, bro.
I said, what was the turning point in your life that allowed you to, you know what I'm saying, be an individual as opposed to, you know, following the crowd?
You know, bro, you know, I think the turning point, I mean, real talk, you know, when I was in high school, man, I mean, I was an angry brother, man. I was, you know, big chip on my shoulder. You know, it's just, I think, you know, as a teenager, you know, all teenagers, first of all, think they know everything. You think you know everything there is to know when you're a teenager, and then sooner or later you come to find that you really didn't know nothing. But I think that the turning point for me, I mean, honestly, I think the turning point for me was when I went to college. And I try to tell cats, man, I try to tell young men all the time, especially, you know, some of the young men I work with, I try to tell them all the time, education, man, is, you don't really understand how important education is, you know, especially college. And, you know, when I got to college, man, it was a big turning point for me. You know, a lot of things changed for me mentally. My whole mindset about different things changed as I interacted with different individuals, and I interacted with people that were real serious about what they were in college for, what they were trying to do, and what they were trying to succeed with, and the different goals and dreams and aspirations, and talking to many intelligent professors, and, you know, becoming friends with some, and you know, just really talking about things that were truly important in life, and the things that you had to do and the things that you must do to be successful. And I think that once I started interacting with these individuals and, you know, my whole mindset started changing, I think that's when, you know, I started really coming to, you know, certain conclusions about, you know, what it takes and what you really have to do. And it's like, and it's also like, even like today when I look at the you know, the next generation, and I look at, you know, some of the things that they're surrounded by, you know, and the things that they're involved in. I mean, you have kids today. Kids don't even want to go outside and enjoy outside or enjoy being a kid. They're so caught up with electronics. They're so caught up with technology. Kids are lazy. Kids don't want to do a lot of things today, sports and so many different things that we did as we were, you know, when we were kids. I mean, this next generation of kids really don't want to do a whole lot, and it's hindering their creativity. You know, it's hindering certain things about, you know, certain things that's going to allow them to really be successful when they grow up. So I think for me it was college, man. I think that's really what helped me put me in the direction that I really needed to go.
Okay, that's what's up, man. That's what's up. Brother Jerry, can you answer the same question, brother?
Yeah, actually, I didn't grow up so much like following the crowd. I was a military kid, so books were my friends as opposed to people. I think my closest experience really with following the crowd was when I did join the military. I followed a certain type of crowd. And, you know, as I advanced, my skill set made me more of an independent person. So, but I've always been, you know, a thinker, determined, with a plan. So I never did the exact follow the crowd type of thing. First of all, my father was crazy, and he didn't tolerate any nonsense in his house. He was an Air Force dude. So I never got the opportunity to do too much follow the crowd stuff. You know, I had my experience as well. You know, salute to the brother for coming out and moving forward and not letting them hold him back. I respect that. The intestinal fortitude, you know, that you're displaying is something that, you know, our sons should see, our brothers should see, you know, our nephews should see. Is that, you know, you didn't quit. You know what I mean? Setback doesn't mean that you stop. It just means that you have a pause. Or slow motion, but slow motion beats no motion, and as long as you keep pushing, you know. So I just wanted to shout him out, man. I just wanted to say, you know, much respect, and you know.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay. I mean, for me, I mean, that's pretty much with my life, man. I mean, I never, you know what I'm saying, was like a follower. I was more of a leader. Problem being that, you know what I'm saying, a lot of times, man, you know. In order to be a leader, you need somebody to give you guidance. And if you haven't received that guidance, you'll find yourself leading people along a path when you don't really know where you're going. So it's like the blind lead the blind. You know what I'm saying? So it took for me to, you know, sit down for a minute. It took for me to, you know what I'm saying, decide, like really my daughter was like the thing for me, because I had always understood that when you have a child, it's like it's no longer about you, it's about your child. So that kind of like was the point in my life in which I really changed and started being less of a group-minded person and being more of an individual person. I mean, I always was able to think for myself and do what was best, but it took for me to have somebody else that I needed to do what was best for, as opposed to doing what was best for simply me. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, just touching on that real quick, because I plan on getting into that later on to the show. It's like a lot of young brothers don't have fathers out there to offer them that guidance. And, I mean, it's like, you know, before anybody assumed is listening in to the show or tune back in, it is a stated fact. I have no problem that a woman can raise a male child. I respect and salute all the ones who have done that greatly. But a woman cannot demand to be a man, much as they try.
Right.
They can't do it. It's something as simple as showing them how to pee. You know what I'm saying? They don't have the tools to show them what it is to pee. You know what I'm saying? They can't teach them what it is to that need to stand up as a man and provide for your family no matter what you got to do. You know what I'm saying? And I don't mean, you know what I'm saying, I'm not advocating breaking no laws because, you know, at the end of the day, the ultimate result versus the potential gain is not mathematically or economically sound. But, I mean, it's like a man finds a way. I mean, it's not about being with a woman. It's not about a relationship. It's about providing for his child. And so the thing is that a lot of people don't have fathers. And so because of that, we find ourselves without that positive male role model. And the desire for it is so strong. I mean, you know what I'm saying? If you have a father, your father participated in raising you, not standing back watching you grow up. But if your father participated in raising you, it's hard to understand that desire, that urge, that inner need as a male child for a male role model to show you, to teach you, to talk to you, to take that time out to just offer you guidance. A lot of times, though, the guidance is not always positive. So, you know, for me, it was, like I said, it was my child, and I don't want to stray too far, but just we'll come back to that a little bit later. Ruler T, what was it that, you know, got you away from the running around with, you know, the young homies or the young friends in the streets and allowed you to become more of an individual?
Hey, I think Terrence had to step away.
But yeah, I think he had told me he didn't know if he was going to be able to be here that long because he had to go to work.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's another thing a lot of these cats.
He hit us on Twitter.
Cats don't, that's another thing, man, a lot of these cats don't understand, man. And a lot of these brothers rapping, man, a lot of us individuals doing these radio shows and, you know what I'm saying, doing other little jobs that may seem like, you know, a little glamorous or whatever, have actual jobs. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, you CEO of this company, but at the same time, you find yourself needing, until it does something for you, you find yourself needing that 9-to-5. You know what I'm saying? You have to work to put food on the table. Those individuals just rapping, chasing their dreams. The ones that I have found who have been the most successful always have that story of, I worked a job. So, you know what I'm saying? With that said, I guess we can move to the next topic. And since I touched on it, you know what I'm saying? How important do you feel that having a male role model in a young black man's life is to his ability to be successful or to understand what success is, even for that matter? Brother D. Slade?
Well, you know, I think, first of all, I think that's a great question, and I think it's very important. I think these young brothers need positive influence. They need role models, you know, whether it's a neighbor, a brother, a cousin, uncle, you know, father, you know, whatever it is, positive. I think that's what's really, really, truly missing with a lot of our young brothers, man. They don't have positive role models, and they have real big misconceptions of what positivity is because some of them think they have them, and they really don't have them. So I think they need true these young men into successful results, man. I think that I can't even tell you how many times I've mentioned that, and some of my other hosts have mentioned that on our network, how important positive role models and having lead you in the right direction, how really truly important that is. And like I said, a lot of these kids today, man, have that. You know, not like we did growing up. You know, they really don't have it. And I think you know, wholeheartedly that we really need to get back to that. We really need to get more, you know, positive role models. And for some of these young cats, man, because if not, the next generation is really not looking too good.
Okay, okay. Brother Jerry, how important do you feel it is?
I feel it's extremely important. It's imperative, you know, for the proper development of a young man to have a positive male role model. I believe that to not exclude our women, because, you know, our women have been the backbone of our community, not just the family units, but community units. They've been the backbone. But it's imperative for a young man, black or white, whatever, you know what I mean, to have a positive role model, that someone who looks like them, who understands at least the struggle of the uniform, you know, being the skin, you know what I mean, and can show you how to maneuver without jeopardizing your freedom and your life, you know what I mean, or impacting your family. So it's extremely important, you know, to have someone positive.
Yeah, I mean,
I take it male or female.
Yeah, I agree 100%, man. I mean, you know what I'm saying. Women have participated so strongly in and influenced young black men in so many ways. I mean, you know, you always hear the story of the football player that says, "I just want to thank Miss Johnson," or, you know what I'm saying, or Sister Bernice at the church, you know what I'm saying, or what have you. So the many stories, man, of guys or just that genuine concern or that outside of the house influence that's like, come on now, you know, I'm watching you. I expect more of you. I know you're capable of doing more. That caused a lot of individuals to straighten up. But I feel like there has to be some type of obligation placed upon young brothers in the community who have, you know, I mean, if you didn't make it and you know what the consequences of not making it are, the consequences of the struggle are, it's like it's an obligation to individuals in a different direction. Even if you're not steering them in a direction that you're going in a positive way, if you live in a negative life, you have an obligation to steer them away from that. You know what I'm saying? It's like there's no longer like a sense of community that exists. You know what I'm saying? You always hear the story of, oh man, you know, I was down in a corner doing this and that, and you know, person came out, smacked me upside my head. I'm talking about I'm going to tell my mama, and they dragged me down to the house, and on the way, people were stepping out the door, smacking me upside the head until I got home. So by the time I got home, I got 3 or 4 or 5 whoopings. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's like the sense of community has been so greatly lost that we need to find a way to get that back. You know, unfortunately, the thing with child predators and this internet madness, you know what
right.
I'm saying, which allows so much access, you know what I mean, because it's like you no longer want to trust your neighbor to keep an eye out or want to
yeah.
be involved with your neighbor. So, I mean, it's like, what do you think it would take to, you know, bring back that sense of community that is required, man, for us to assist in raising, you know what I'm saying, more successful, more positive, more creative and open young black men?
Oh, man. Just have to piggyback, and this is, you know, I didn't mean to go out of order or anything, but I just wanted to say, you know, 100% what you just said is correct. I stand with you, you know what I mean? 100% on, you know, our obligation to reach out and steer them away from our mistakes and steer them in a direction that shows them positive options. I 100% concur with what you just said. I mean, your question really was a continuation of that. So I refer back to your statement simply because it encompassed the answer for both questions. It was magnificent.
Brother D.L., thank you, brother. I appreciate that. D. Slade, I got to stop, man. I keep on shouting out your radio show. Brother D. Slade.
No doubt.
What do you think is needed?
You said, what do I think is needed?
You know what I'm saying, to bring back that the positive influence, man, within the community, you know what I'm saying, to try to get young brothers, man, like even older brothers, man, where they at a point where they are more willing to guide the younger brothers in the community.
I think the main key, and I'm not gonna stand on my pew and talk for a long time. I think the main key to that can truly help. You got to look at the times, and you got to look at this generation, and you got to look at what motivates them and what they're interested in. You know, that's how you draw young individuals into wanting to do something positive. So I almost like to call it the Bill Cosby effect. You know, when you watch the Cosby Show and you were so impressed with the way Bill Cosby would interpret things to his kids and get them to understand what he was truly talking about. So I think you got to take that same concept when you're talking with young individuals. It's almost like what I like to call the comedian standpoint. As a comedian, when you do stand up comedy, the way you become successful with that, how you get people to really laugh at what you're talking about, is you have to get them to relate to what you're talking about. You have to take everyday things that they relate to, that they're interested in, and the things that they like, and you have to make it relatable. You know, you have to incorporate things into it that's going to say, damn, you know, give them a certain point of view to look at that they never looked at before. So when you're dealing with young kids, you're dealing with this new generation, and you want them to be positive, and you want them to be the individuals that, you know, you so hope that they're going to be, you have to make it relatable to them. You have to make it so that it's interesting enough for them to want to do it. You know, there's nothing more invigorating to see an individual do something because they want to do it and not because they're trying to impress somebody. So you get more meaning out of it when you do it because you want to do it. So if you can make it more relatable to them and give them an opportunity to truly want to do it, I think that the results are going to be more than successful.
Yeah, man, I agree 100%, man. I mean, because it's like, and the strangest thing is that it's so simple, because it's like they already open, man. I mean, they already there, man, waiting and begging and pleading for somebody to reach out to them, man, even when they don't know that that's what they want. You know what I'm saying? It's like they begging and pleading for somebody, man, to show them some guidance, because I have noticed that it's like when you sit down and talk to a young brother and you take the time just to stop him, you know what I'm saying, or just simple statements like, hey, young brother, that ain't cool right there, man. You know what I'm saying? You know, you don't want to be doing nothing like that, man. You know what I'm saying? It's like, and it's the way you say it. It's not, you know what I'm saying? You don't talk down to them. You talk to them. You know what I'm saying? And by that, I don't necessarily mean that you try to sound cool or hip or use a slang or their language or nothing like that. I mean simply that you speak to them as a man, as the way that you would want to be spoken to. And you let them know, man. I talk a lot of times, you know what I'm saying, when you say make it relatable, I talk about mistakes I've made. I allow them to understand that I've been where they at. You know what I'm saying? And I've been where they going if they don't, you know what I'm saying, make some adjustments. And I'm trying to get to where they want to be. if they stay on the right path. So it's like, it's not really a hard thing, man. What do you think it would take, though, to, like, I mean, if the opportunity was there, or the money was there, or the people, the manpower was there, what are some programs or whatever you believe that can be instituted in the community? Because, I mean, we struggling now, man, with this new sense of, I don't know where all the atheists came from, you know what I'm saying? But now we have, you know, we got atheists, we got Muslims, we got, you know, brothers are embracing Hebrewism and you know, Christianity. So it's like all of these different things. You got the House of Yahweh, you got, you know, the Metunet, or brothers studying, you know what I'm saying, Egyptian philosophy or what have you. So the church is no longer like, you know, the fallback plan for, you know what I'm saying, get brothers down to church, to youth center, to play some ball. It's all about, you know what I'm saying, people want to be able to get people somewhere so that they can feed them their agenda. So without all of that in the way, what do you think, you know what I'm saying, the best type of program to be set up to start making a change, like in the different communities? Start with Brother D. Slade.
Well, I want to say this. Before I make my statement to it, first of all, I want to say I'm definitely going to have to get out of here so I can get the business rolling. But I want to say that I love this format. Big shout out to my man Jerry that's on the line, to my brother Hebrew. This is a really good round table. I've discussed this, and you know, when I'm available, I'm definitely on board with everything that you're doing, bro. And I appreciate you know, definitely what you're trying to do as far as helping others and helping individuals and also helping the kids. And I do appreciate that. But to answer that question real quick, I want to say that, first of all, I think, again, you have to get the kids motivated. You got to get them out the house. You got to get them away from the technology, man, because these different things that they're involved in, it's almost like they're having a hard time trying to get away from it. So even still, I think you may have to create new programs. You know, you may have to create, you know, programs that's going to, you know, help motivate them, programs that's going to give them the knowledge they need, programs that's going to help educate them in ways, you know, other entities may not. You know, there's nothing wrong with a lot of the programs that we have today, Girls and Boys Club, you know, churches, you know, rec centers. But I think that, you know, almost like technology, when times change, technology changes. So I think, and, you know, when people's mindset changes, things change. So I think these entities have to do the same thing. You know, you have to modernize yourself. You know, you got to modernize, you know, your business. You got to modernize different things that you're doing to help keep the youth interested and to help keep motivated. So I think that even with church, you know, I think that, you know, we just got to, I think with church, you know, you just got to instill, you know, the belief of faith into these young men and women. You got to instill the belief of faith into them, how strong that can be. And I think with that, you know, there shouldn't be a problem with leading them in that direction. You just got to, all the churches, they just have to make sure they keep the bad entity out of their church, because a lot of times, you know, they got individuals right under their nose who's not living up to what they're supposed to live up to in the church. So I think they need to get rid of the bad elements to keep the church going strong. And like I said, as far as other programs, you just got to modernize them to help get the kids in a interested in and motivated in it. And sometimes you may have to create some new programs as well. But I think those particular things could definitely help get them on the right track.
Oh, yeah, man. I like that, man. And once again, brother, I want to thank you, man, you know what I'm saying, for coming through, man. I know you got your show coming up, man, and I want to, you know what I'm saying, just let you know, man, I appreciate you, man, taking away time away from your busy schedule, man, on a show day to come through here, man, and talk to us, man, and participate in this round table, man. Hopefully, you know what I'm saying, we can get together again and do it sometime when we all have more time. You know what I'm saying? But
absolutely. I'm on board, bro. Anytime you need me to come through, you know, I got your back, definitely.
Oh, most definitely, bro. I appreciate that, man. You know what I'm saying? Let everybody know, man, listen to the show, man. I mean, we talking about some good things over here, man. Maybe they got some kind of plans, or maybe they could be motivated or stimulated about it, man. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I appreciate that, man. You know what I'm saying? You have a blessed day, brother. And like I said, once again, man, I appreciate you, man, and your time.
No doubt, bro. You guys have a blessed day, man, and stay motivated, man. Keep the youth motivated, man. I'm gonna definitely keep on doing the same. And it's a blessing, man, to come on the show with you guys.
Oh, yeah, most definitely, man, most definitely. Brother Jerry, continue that. What do you think some of the things that could be done?
You know, I believe that there are quite a few programs already, and the creation of additional, you know, programs. I think we need to maintain the funding for the programs that we have and reinstitute some of the programs that were already in place, have the infrastructure, you know, rather than creating brand new pieces, you know, because by the time they get through wasting money on office space and office furniture and having this, that, and the other, you know, half the money that should have gone to the kids in the first place gets wasted on infrastructure and other nonsense. So, you know, reinstitute and refund those items that we had, you know, that are already, you know, completely fleshed out with infrastructure. You know, you already have a management charge. You know what you need to make something function, rather than reinvent the wheel. Let's use those things. But also, you know, we talk about the kids getting them out. You know, the parents need to, if they aren't working, you know, 2 and 3 jobs, they need to make time to personally accompany their kids to see something outside of, you know, their four walls, their neighborhood, you know, their room, their technology. So you have to motivate the parents. You know, because the kid's going to welcome opportunity to learn something new. To, you know, even if you have to take a trip across the city on a bus, you know, to go see something different, just do something different. There are a lot of things that can be done, and it shouldn't be a institutional style setup to make things happen. You know, parents. We need to get out of the house. If it's nothing more than take a walk around the block, if you're comfortable with doing that, you know what I mean? Go to the park, you know? California, man, you know, the parks are always full. There's kids everywhere, you know what I mean? I'm in Kansas. The park, there's a park in my corner, you know? We don't have some of the problems that other cities do in limiting, you know, access to some of those public facilities. But, you know, bottom line is avail yourself of whatever you have at hand. Because, you know, in the economic climate that we have, you know, this is you know, overcome, adapt, you know what I mean? And we got to utilize what we already have. Just, you know, motivate the parents. That's huge. Huge thing. I know I'm a couch potato, and, you know, my daughter's been at school all day or whatever, and she comes home and she's got more energy than I have stored up for the whole week. She'll be spending it in 10 minutes. So we're tired, we're worn out, but we've got to take, you know, an hour out of our schedule, engage with our kids. And I don't, you know, that's a program that needs to be reinstituted. You know what I mean? Just to keep your kids. Yeah, go ahead, man. man. That's
no, I'm just saying, man. I'm just agreeing with you, man, like 100%, man. I mean, it's like parents need to, I mean, and like you said, I don't want to sound like I'm trying to tell some woman who's raising her kids alone that works three jobs to get out and do these things. However, I right. do want to say that, you know, that's the most simple program, man. I mean, you got a friend that you talk to. She has children. Y'all have children. You got two, three more friends, man. That's a outing. You know what I'm saying? That's a program within itself. And as I said, man, I mean, I'm not trying to neglect, like, young black women or young black girls or nothing like that, but I'm kind of want to keep the focus on the black boys. And, I mean, it's like I feel like the programs that are already in place, man, are they work, but the problem being is that we have to get an older segment of the population involved, older men involved who are willing to take the time. Because, you know, it's like you got a dude who pretty much there playing himself trying to guide a young boy who's not much younger than him. That's not really mm-hmm. working too. You know what I'm saying? It's like a lot of programs have been canceled that really, as you said, need to be brought back. I mean, they don't have no after-school program. I mean, when class is out, school is closed. And any thing happening on the school ground after that is trespass. You know what I'm saying? It's no after-school basketball. It's no, you know what I'm saying, no place wow. for to hang out. I mean, it's like school is closed. Go home. You know what I'm saying? Wow. And these are the places that children were socialized, like outside of the constrained environment of school. You know what I'm saying? It's sad to say, man, but in society there is a pecking order. And pecking orders were established, and you found your place. You know what I'm saying? And you learned what you could do, what you couldn't do, what you were good at, what you wasn't good at. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's only so often that you're going to stay out there in the 6th, 7th grade, man, shooting them bricks before you're going to decide that this is not the career for me. But when you don't have after school and you only get that 15 minutes of recess, of nutrition, or lunchtime to sit out there and make a layup or two now and then, you start setting your goals towards being a professional athlete, which is, I believe, unrealistic. And like the brother D. Slay said, man, one of the most important things is that I'm not tempted to criticize because I understand how difficult it is in this struggling economy, you know what I'm saying, to raise your children. But the babysitting of children with technology, man, it makes no sense to me that a child has a tablet that doesn't have has anything other than educational programs on it at 5, 6 years old. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, these little boys will walk up to you on the block, man, like 4 or 5 o'clock. You got any games on your phone? Like, this is what you asked me for. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Nobody's teaching them how to play catch or dribble or play basketball. You know what I'm saying? And it's like science now is eliminating football. All of a sudden, it's like don't let your young son play football at the park anymore. You know, Pop Warner is going to probably lose his funding soon because of all of the different physical
stuff.
The head injury problem that is starting to exist. But I mean, it's like I think it's something as simple as just different individuals, man, taking it as individuals to, like, attempt to talk to some of these young boys. I mean, it's like you pass by a group of dudes every day on the block. They standing there doing nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, it's dangerous in some communities to approach some of these dudes, man, but in most places, you know what I'm saying, it's not like that. You feel what I'm saying? And I think that's another misconception, man, that we have through our own reaching out and helping, that every group of 2 or 3 dudes is not a gang. You know, every little group of young black boys, it's not a gang. You know what I'm saying? And they don't have to behave like one. You know what I'm saying? So that's another thing that has to be instituted. It has to be some attempt on the part of black men to start reaching out. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's crazy to say because so many are not raising their own children. But, I mean, it's like, take a minute, man, holler at a young brother on the street. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
absolutely.
It's programs that exist, I think that they actually have a chance, but they need to, as you said, man, they really need to be like updated. They need to be brought into, you know, 2014 and 15 and 16, because it's like if you are attempting to do something out of the kindness of your heart, your personal agenda should not play such a prominent role. You know what I'm saying? It shouldn't be such a Christian push on, you know what I'm saying, the little park or the basketball court or the gym attached to the church if it's going to be open. You know what I'm saying? It shouldn't be like an obligation. But I feel like it's like if we don't find a way to like reach out, you know what I'm saying, it's going to be another generation myth. And that generation is going to be the fathers of the next generation. And so I'm looking for if you were able to, like I said before, just get a message across to, like, brothers in the community as far as, like, how to reach out to young brothers. What would your message be?
Oh, man, my message would be that, look, you know, unity starts with saying hello, not what's up, or even what's up, you know, but it starts with saying hello. You and I met over social media, for back and forth and in the conversation, and, you know, maybe, what, a year, maybe 2 years ago, and look at us now. We're having an I'm loving the discussion. Had great discussion, you know, with four brothers that came together and came to this one spot just because somebody said hello. A lot of times we are looking as a youth, I know I was, you know, for some acknowledgement, sign of interest from an adult. You know what I mean? That was, how you doing, you know, how's your grades? You knew that Mr. Clark down the street, every time he saw you, was going to be grilling you. You know what I mean? And showing some concern. Those are some of the traditions, I think, that will need to be reinstituted. And everybody not being so defensive, but understanding that we're losing, you know, as a segmented community, we're losing. We have to understand that while we may not always agree on methodology, that we may not always agree with, you know, personal lifestyle or philosophy, the bottom line is that without giving the next generation the tools to work with so that they could pass those things on, and conversely, the youth who are seeking that knowledge need to make themselves known, you know, to receptive people. You know, I'll talk to them. I talk to people on social media. I answer questions, you know. I don't care if you're a mechanic, you know what I mean, a handyman, you know, drywaller, whatever it is that you do. You know, see some cats, like the brother said, you know, like you said, they're standing on the corner. We'll walk by them. We won't even say hello. You know, the corners used to be the meeting places, not just a few, you know, but it used to be a community spot. You know what I mean? So that is the key thing. But, you know, understanding that there's some challenges, you know, to making that happen with geographical boundaries and gangs and all that, you know what I mean, that culture is not as easy. But the one thing about it later on down the road, you know, is that as we become more of a community, the less need for the psychological and emotional comfort that's provided by belonging to a gang.
Yeah.
Now some of them are doing it for the money and it's an organized situation, but, you know, others, you know, that's my homie right there. That's the cat that can call you at 3 o'clock in the morning. You're going to get up, no questions asked, and go ride. You know, but if we have that kind of loyalty as a community without being segmented, you know, and fractioned off. Just think about how deeply we could impact this country, similar to, you know, the civil rights movement. It took a while, but there was a oneness of mind, and that was that I'm going to support you, you're going to support me, and together as a community we're going to move forward. And so as men, we need to recapture some of that old stuff, you know, that you went to the barbershop with your grandfather and your grandfather walked in the door and he spoke to everyone in the place. What's going on, fellas? How you doing? You know, they're talking about the news, they're talking about politics, they're talking about everything in that barbershop, you know. The conversations now are about sneakers. Did you see the honey of the week on whatever site it was? You know what I mean? That's the conversation. You know, the it goes back to that babies raising babies, though, that you were talking about. You know, someone who is 22 with just a little more life experience than someone who's 18 in the same neighborhood being a mentor. No, I think those of us who have made it past the age of 25, you know, owe it that obligation that we spoke of earlier on in the segment. We have that obligation to reach out and say hello. You know what I mean? Don't just send me a link to your music. Say hello to me. Start the relationship. Guess what? One person, two people at a time, that's how our community comes together and binds itself. And that's where we have to be. Sorry to preach.
Man, no, not at all, man. But, hey, look, I'm going to get into a quick music break, man, allow you to get a drink of water, man, use the bathroom, whatever, man. We're going to come on back, man, and continue this conversation, man. I'm loving this, man. This is the God Hey Rule, man, and we here with Jerry Dobie of the Hype Magazine, man, Brother Ruler T from the Live by Terrence show, and D Slave from the D Hour show were here with us earlier, man. We're going to come back, man, hopefully the Brother Dick Chronicles and Smooth to do to be able to slide through here on this second half, man. You know what I'm saying? Y'all hold tight, man, and we'll be back. Appreciate y'all.
How you feeling?
I feel good.
I know you would.
Not even all that.
Crazy as hell. These trees is flight. She won't be there without me. She won't
no.
Be there.
What would you do without
she
me?
Won't be
like
that?
Yeah.
She won't
just
be
like
there.
That.
She won't be there. Roll all my weed up, she so bad she need Jesus. Love to speak in my mic like she doing a feature. Her draw fall down to her sneakers, then she hop up on top. Booty softer than cotton, got me hard as a rock. If you want it in public, I don't give no fucks. In the back of my Impala, roll them windows up. We got the car all rocking till the cops come knocking. We see them headlights coming, but we not stopping. I'm her baby, she won't be dead. She said, what's the queen on the throne without her crown? I said, baby, just chill, enjoy the ride. We gon' turn it up a notch, enjoy the night. She rolled her eyes, then cracked a smack. She play her role, I like her style. She got that good, she got low mag. And she love a nigga, she won't be down. She won't be down. She wanna be down and I'm gon' let her. I'm gon' let her. She wanna be down and I'm gon' let her. I'm gon' let her. She wanna be down and I'm gon' let her. I'm gon' let her. She wanna be down and I'm gon' let her. I'm gon' let her. She wanna be down and I'm gon' let her.
She wanna be down and I'm gon' let her. She wanna be down and I'm gon' let her. She wanna be, she wanna be. Face down, hands up, that's the way I like to. Yeah, but she know that though. I can tell by how she throw that though. Tremendous head, breakfast in bed, cheesy eggs, toasted bread. She cooking for me, I'm good and fed. I hit the road, she hit my text. She ain't worried about other hoes. Niggas chase her, love stunting for her. She ain't moved by what money brings. She fucks with me cause I keep it G. I turn her on electricity. These niggas turn her off like they ain't paid the bill. I know her aim, she targets me whenever we got time to kill. Yeah, she wanna beat down and I'm gon' let her. I'm gon' let her. She wanna be down and I'm gon' let her. I'm gon' let her. She wanna be down and I'm gon' let her. I'm gon' let her. She wanna be down and I'm gon' let her. She wanna be down and I'm gon' let her. I'm gon' let her. She wanna be.
right. We back for another little bit of this round table, man. I'm here with the brother Jerry Dobie of the Hype Magazine, and we're discussing redefining success, man, in the eyes of the black boy in the urban community. And you know, during the break, man, one of the things that crossed my mind was the fact that it's not only the struggle and the strive for these glamorous jobs that has become like almost an obsession in the black community. It's the way that everyday working people are looked down upon. It's like, you know what I'm saying? It's like you didn't get a scholarship to go to college. You decided not to go to college. Whatever it is, you know what I'm saying? That's not the end of everything. People don't understand that each and every job that's performed in our society is important. People don't understand
right.
that trash can come through to pick the trash up off the streets. The doctor couldn't get to work to perform heart surgery or brain surgery. You know what I'm saying? It's like if the trash man don't clean the streets, Lil Wayne can't get to the studio. You know what I'm saying? Jay-Z can't do his concert. Jay-Z and Beyonce can't go on tour if they ain't got a clear path to the airport. So you know what I'm saying? The airport pilot is important. Everybody performs an important function. So understand that there's nothing wrong with not being able to, you know, shoot free throws or dunk a basketball or being able to run, you know, a 4.5 in the 40 with a football up under your arm or you know what I'm saying, being able to even hit a baseball or run track or any type of sport or have any type of musical talent, not even be an actor. You know what I'm saying? It's like everyday jobs need to be done. And the thing about jobs is they pay. And if you're making a living, you can afford to go to school at night and
right.
try to do something, accomplish something, get some type of education that would allow you to make more at the job you're doing. And so I feel that it's extremely important that it's not just what you do, but how you live that needs to be redefined in the minds of, like, young black boys. It's not about being flashy. It's not about, you know, and I hate it because it's such a, like, a genuine statement that was said in White Men Can't Jump when the cat Woody Allen said, he said, man, you know, the problem with brothers that they would rather look good and lose than to look bad and win. You know what I'm saying? It's nothing wrong, man, with getting up in the morning every day and going to work as a janitor or going to work as, you know what I'm saying, as any job, a train driver, a bus driver, you know what I'm saying, a school teacher.
Right.
They don't make a lot of money, man, but they are so important in our society.
Absolutely.
You know what
Absolutely.
I'm saying? And so, I mean, it's like that's another thing that needs to be redefined. How do you feel that we can go about making that change happen?
Well, I don't propose that I have all the answers, you know what I mean? But I think for me growing up, it all goes back to engagement and interaction, you know, for me to be able to talk to the black firemen, you know, black doctors, things like that, that was, you know, an opportunity those were events that spurred my imagination, you know, and lit fire, you know, in my belly to achieve something that could impact my world, you know, with my little contribution as part of a collective, you know what I mean, of people who are moving in the same direction, you know, on the same mission. So,
yeah,
I feel that as long as we communicate and come out of our shells, that, you know, we can facilitate exactly, you know, the black doctors have to come out and be seen, you know.
Yeah.
I get tired of you know, the professionals, you know, that, or the hardworking cat, the blue collar guys with semi interesting jobs, you know, like who work, you know, who climb the poles. You know, these guys, you know, don't get an opportunity to share at the show and tell, or bring my daddy the day, you know, to work day, or bring my mommy to work day, you know, and give a wider exposure, you know, to the different occupations that people engage in on a day-to-day basis. You know, everybody's not a rap star, obviously. Everybody doesn't play in the NBA or the NFL. You know, everybody's not a radio host. But to be able to see the guy from the gas company, the guy from the electrical company, you know, and see what they do, instead of just the firemen and the cops, the people with the freaking badges and uniforms that intimidate people, you know, these are the good guys, you know, that kind of programming.
I talk a lot.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, brother, you're not talking a lot. I mean, what you're saying is real. I believe the brother Jit has arrived and is on the board, man. Brother Jit, you there, man? We're going to bring you on in. You know what I'm saying? And,
I'm here. Hey, Ruth. How y'all fellas doing today?
Oh, man, we doing all right, man. You know what I'm saying? We've been covering some ground, man. The brother D.I. was here earlier. You know what I mean? D-Slade was here a little bit earlier. You know, the brother Ruler T was here a little bit earlier. You know what I'm saying? And now you here with the brother me, you and the brother Jerry Dobie. You know what I'm saying?
Okay,
and
that's
so
what's up.
Tell everybody who you are, man. You know what I'm saying? And, going on with you.
Hey, yeah, this is your boy Jet Chronicles, man. I'm the CEO and the host of Ground Hard Radio. You can definitely check us out at groundhardradio.com. You know, hey, I'm just a hustler. That's all I can say, man. I'm out here trying to get it.
Hey, so we were just talking right now, man, on, you know what I'm saying, redefining, like, what success is. And that's been the topic of the conversation. But we're trying to – I'm asking your opinion of what do you think it would take to make everyday jobs, you know what I'm saying, like – the gas station man, the man who worked at the gas station, you know, at the store, you know what I'm saying, the cat who climbed the pole, as, you know, the brother Jerry just said, man, more attractive, you know, to young black men.
I hear that. So what's the question you saying, like, what can we do to make, you know, make our youth know that that's something that you can possibly do and everybody ain't got to be a rapper and a superstar and all that stuff?
Exactly.
Well, let me tell you this, hey, Ru. I'm going to say this, and I say this with everything that's in me, man. A lot of that stuff starts at home. You know what I'm saying? That's something that us as parents should be teaching our kids. And not to kind of backtrack off the subject, man, but I kid you not, maybe about 2 weeks ago, I asked this young dude, couldn't be no older than 15, maybe 16. I said, hey, what you want to be when you grow up? And this dude told me a rapper. You know what I'm saying? And for me, when I was coming up, you know, what happened to being a doctor? Want to be a lawyer? You know what I'm saying? Hell, a bus driver, anything. You know what I'm saying? And I just feel like the youth have a lot of things misconstrued, but you can't necessarily blame them because it all starts at the house. You know what I'm saying? It's just us as parents, man, we got to be more hands-on with our children and let them know this is what's real, and it's over here. I mean, yeah, it may be real, but at the end of the day, you want longevity in the career. If you want to grow up and be a rapper, you know, I mean, what's the span of being a rapper? 5-10 years? You know what I'm saying? At a certain age, you can't do it no more. You know what I'm saying? So I just feel like us as parents, man, we got to raise more awareness with our children because it starts at home first. The teachers at the school, much love to them, but they can't do everything. You know what I'm saying? It starts with us as parents at the house from day one.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like it has to be more exposure given to those individuals, though. And, I mean, you know, just in case you listening, man, and you know you work for PG&E and you up on the pole, or you know what I'm saying, you deliver the mail, or whatever your job is, man, if it's not a glamorous job, man, when you walk through the community, man, speak to these dudes, man. Speak to these young dudes, man. Let them humanize yourself. You know what I'm saying? Because the problem is, it's not just a matter of home for me. I think it's because there's so many fathers that are not there, which is why
well, that's the main thing.
Black boys are struggling trying to find out what it is to be a man, what's acceptable, what's not acceptable. You know what I'm saying? And the sad part is that there is a movement. You know what I'm saying? And, and I hate to call it a movement because a movement is such a positive thing. But there is a movement, man, in the community, man, to figure out how little I can do and how much I can make doing that. You know what I'm saying? And I tell this story a lot of times, man. You know what I'm saying? But a sister told me she was on the way to the store. A brother asked for a cigarette, offered him a cigarette, and asked him if he was on his way to work. And the brother said, "Work? I don't want no motherfucking job." And it's like, you know what I'm saying? It's like this is a mindset that's starting to develop fast. And this wasn't like no older brother. You know what I'm saying? This is a cat that still had, like, a lot to do, a lot to be able to be achieved. It wasn't like he's so old that any job he get was going to be beneath him, which that's another thing that needs to be stated. Work is not beneath anybody. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's another thing we need to reach out with a young black boy and establish to get across to them is the fact that a job, showing your child, showing, you know what I'm saying, your friend, your family, that, you know what I'm saying, you're not afraid of hard work. You're not afraid to get your hands dirty. You're going to do what's necessary to put food on the table to provide for your family. You know what I'm saying? And I think that this is a message that is important to get across to them, that it doesn't matter if you can't buy a Cadillac or a Benz or all of this. If you can afford a car to get to work and back, to get your children to school and back, to be able to get to the, you know, to the hospital if your children are sick. If you can't afford that, if you're working and doing the best you can and striving to do the best you can and not giving up and accepting something else, then this is what success is about. You know what I'm saying? Success is in the struggle to me. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just trying to figure
absolutely.
Out how do you feel that this message can be gotten through? I mean, you know, the brother Jerry said earlier, man, you know what I'm saying, that just walking down the street, just something as simple as starting to speak, a conversation starts. You know what I'm saying? Because he mentioned it, and the same thing that applies to me and him also applies to me and you. I met you over social media through internet radio, and we started dialogue. And simple dialogue led to further conversation. It opened the door for me to be able to approach you about doing a show like this, to be able to approach your brother Jerry about doing a show like this. And I think that the same can be applied in the community. If you walk past young brothers, speaking to them every day, simply speaking, showing interest in them, you know what I'm saying, can open a door for dialogue. You know what I'm saying? If you see somebody every day and you recognize they don't look the same as usual, showing some type of concern, what's going on? You know, simple things like that.
Well, most definitely, I think one thing that us fellas, you know what I'm saying, especially in the black community, I think that we need to reach out to these fellas more and become more of a mentor because, you know, for me, I'm only 32 years old, you know what I'm saying? But back in the day, I mean, I had so many opportunities. We had the Boys and Girls Club. We had 100 Black Men, which was like a big movement for mentors, you know what I'm saying? I just think that needs to be more incorporated in our communities. I don't know where along the lines that fell off, but I do think there should be more mentor programs for these black youth. Because like you said, Heru, you know, and it is true, a lot of these brothers is growing up with no father in the home, you know what I'm saying, which can make it not only extremely difficult for that child, but difficult for that mother as well, you know what I'm saying? So I just feel like if you got a nephew or you know a couple of people that you might want to help them out, man, think about becoming a mentor to these kids. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, I don't like to say that all youth is bad. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, I still think they got good heart. They just need to be guided in the right direction. And they don't have anybody that can guide them. And I feel like that's where we can come in at.
Yeah, most definitely, man. I mean, it's like everybody is born good, man. And I don't think nobody is lost. You know what I'm saying? I don't think a person is lost.
Exactly.
Gives up on himself and everybody else gives up on them. Speaking of that, man, y'all both mentioned, you know what I'm saying, you mentioned mentoring programs. Brother Jerry, do you know of any, like, mentoring programs that exist in your community or in the area where, you know what I'm saying, you live at?
Yeah, we have the Links here. We have 100 Black Men. There are some representatives here. We have some professional mentoring groups where you can get an actual retired executive, a CEO of, you know, sometimes, you know, a Fortune 1000, a Fortune 5000 company, you know, with some international brand experience that will come out and help you. You know, one of the things that they do is, strangely enough, we're just going to use the record label. If you're looking to do a record label, independent record label, well, you have to have some marketing experience. You need to have, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And these guys are retired executives with nothing to do except, you know, collect their pension every month. And they want to give back. And they give this free. They can reach out to the Chamber of Commerce. There are the Young Entrepreneur, the Young Businessmen of America or Business People of America. You know, those are serious, federally funded, privately funded, endowed mentorship programs for young people. And it's not exclusive by race or income or anything like that. Do you have, you know, what it takes to work well as part of a group, to, you know, translate business concepts into an actionable plan and make it happen? And that's one of the best that I know. The Links are good for that as well. You know, these are all successful, what we call successful people who have a business who has been running for more than 5 years. You know, they've gone through the kinks and all that good stuff. And if you would allow me, I would like to backtrack, because earlier on, you know, the other brother brought up the education being the key. And then we just got into, you know, looking at the glamour job, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
you know, doctors, lawyers, et cetera.
Yes,
I would like to talk about a very responsible job. People think that the grocery store clerk or the gas station attendant is a low job. But let me tell you how responsible, when you think about this, and then, you know, in one side of your brain, think about your educational process, and here we're going to talk about application of theory. A gas station attendant has to keep inventory every shift. They have to be able to balance drawers, so they know if their drawer is long or their drawer is short. They have to have presentation skills, because you're meeting the public on a daily. They have to, you know, have some self-starter qualities about them, you know what I mean? Because usually they're the only person in the store, so they're stocking the shelves, they're cleaning up, they're, you know, taking care of the customers, handling problems, picking up trash, whatever. But as we discuss that one job, think of all the skill sets that are employed. You've got accounting. You've got logistics. You have, you know, cash flow management. You have all those things that are encompassed in the lowly gas station attendant. These things you go to college for. You're learning. You take accounting classes. You're taking algebra. You're taking English. You're taking interpersonal communication. These people employ these skills. They execute theory, even without having learned it, every single day that they go to work. So there's nothing wrong with being a gas station attendant. It's a responsible job. Everybody can't do it. How do you keep inventory, a running inventory of cigarette sales in a gas station or single blunts, you know what I mean, if you're in a popular location. That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And so when you break it down like that, that's a very responsible job, and there's no shame.
Game.